o'clock, high noon, we are convening right now, reconvening, and the next case is number 22-947, Easton. Good afternoon, would the issuing authority please identify yourself and your witness?
My name is Chief Richard Doyle for the Town of Easton Police Department, and my witness is also a detective with the Easton Police Department. His name is Kent Lyman.
Great. Okay. How about?
No, I didn't hear the last name.
Lyman, L-Y-M-A-N.
Thank you.
And for the defense?
Good afternoon, Attorney Gregory Miller for the appellant here, 22-947.
Great, thank you. Okay, you may proceed with a brief opening statement.
The appellant applied for a pistol permit, and in doing so, he presented some evidence, and then we discovered some other evidence that I feel that it's a suitability issue, that it'd be unsuitable to possess a pistol permit.
Thank you. Brief opening statement.
It's undisputed that my client did not disclose the arrest. However, he has a good reason for that. The case was dismissed by Connecticut statute. There is no requirement for him to disclose a dismissed case. As such, it's not a grounds for denial on it.
Thank you. You may proceed.
Can I call Detective Lyman?
Okay.
Yes, I'm Detective Lyman with the Easton Police Department. Part of my duties as the detective there is to facilitate the fingerprints of any applicants, be it for a pistol permit, for Board of Education, or employment within the town. The appellant came to have his fingerprints as required, and during this transaction, he disclosed that he had been arrested for different offenses in Connecticut as well as Arizona. This came about just because of a conversation. I ask everybody the same questions when it doesn't matter whether the Board of Education or if it's for pistol permits, I will ask, have you ever been fingerprinted before? And if they answer no, then I just keep going. I don't really ask any other questions. And if it's yes, then I'll just ask, what was it for? Why did you get fingerprinted, et cetera, et cetera. And like I said, the Board of Education is usually yes because they've held several different positions. And when it's for a pistol permit, if they have been fingerprinted before, it just kind of alerts me to look a little bit further, that's all. So the conversation with me was just that he wanted to disclose that he had been arrested in Connecticut for possession of, I think it was marijuana, and as well as in Prescott or Preston, Arizona as well. Follow-up on that after he left was I ran a LexisNexis check, which is an aggregate website that pools information from other law enforcement agencies, and those arrests did come up through Arizona. And I don't remember exactly what the statutes were, but I did write them down. And then I called Prescott, Arizona, but they had no, the files were sealed and I was unable to get that information.
Can I speak?
Sure.
Okay, so in your packet there's evidence, they're all court documents that were submitted by the appellant with this application. And that prompted us to look further. And I will say he was under no obligation to submit those, but since he did, there were seven charges, and then we found an article about the arrest, which is posted on a news website in Trumbull, Connecticut, and that was December 3rd, 2016. And the documents that he submitted are about that arrest. And that case was disposed of March 29th, 2018.
So just so I understand, it's on suitability grounds that he did not disclose the arrest, or is it suitability based on the underlying conduct?
Based on the underlying conduct, sir.
Would you like to cross-examine?
Just very briefly, Chief. I see in your packet submitted to the board a JDCR 71, which is a disposition from a Connecticut court. Could you tell me, Chief, what, in that case, what the disposition was?
There were seven charges. One, two, three were nollied, and three were dismissed. And no, four were nollied, three were dismissed out of the all seven charges.
As such, do you know whether or not that nollie was successfully completed?
I do not.
Okay. Anything within your records that would indicate that it's not?
No, sir.
All right. And within 13 months, normally a nollie would become a dismissal?
That's correct.
I don't mean to lead you, Chief.
No, that's fine.
There we go. All right. That's all that I have.
Okay. Does the board have any questions?
You mentioned suitability based on underlying conduct. What is the underlying conduct? I mean, I can see the charges, but do you have the story? Do you know?
Just the article. I couldn't get any of the police reports.
Did anyone ask the appellant?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Not a whole lot for us to consider then.
No.
Well, we have something, and we can certainly ask the appellant, or Chief can call the appellant and ask if he chooses.
Mm-hmm. I have no questions, sir.
No questions. Okay, it's your turn.
There. I don't see anything to call the appellant on. The police department did what they did. This is 2016, 2017. It was a long time ago. My client has lived in Easton for the last 8 years. If my client had a problem, we all know he'd be back in court, you know, long before this. Given the fact that it's been, you know, 8 years since this, there was a reference to an Arizona case, which is even further back, when he was a college student. Today we've all but legalized marijuana in Connecticut. These were marijuana cases. They may have been a crime then. They're not now. Whatever they were then, they were not of sufficient gravity.
Let me cut you off for a second. You say they are not now. There are charges of intent to sell, drug factory, so some of those are still, you know.
Yes, Chief.
Crimes now, it's not a simple possession case. That's why I asked about the details of the suitability, you know, for suitability reasons.
Yeah, I mean, in response to that, my reading on this is as to those charges, they dismissed them outright. So it's...
No, I understand, but we understand that sure. The behavior itself would not, that may still result in criminal charges in Connecticut. It's not that behavior
yes.
has been legalized.
I stand corrected.
At least based
Thank
on the
you,
charges
Chief.
Without the details.
Yes, I stand corrected on that. We would point back to the fact that the court had a full opportunity to review this case. Clearly, you know, had there been... you know, serious conduct here, if they believed that this was a drug operation, we wouldn't see a nollie. I think the reasonable conclusion from this is that there was a traffic stop. They wrote their ticket for whatever they wrote it for. It got to court, and when it got to court, we see that the court disposed of this.
And again, I don't know that there would have been a ticket. These look like potentially felonies that would not have been a misdemeanor summons. So it would have been handcuffs and taken to the police station, processed. I'm not sure either.
Yeah,
but
I can't tell.
We'll
Chief,
ask.
It's,
we'll talk.
It's too
we'll
long
call
ago. All I can tell is that it's been almost a decade, they ultimately decided to just dispose of this case. I think when we look here at the standards on suitability. We look on the fact that there's, you know, not a failure to disclose. Apparently, the only reason they looked at it is they asked my client point blank whether or not she'd ever been arrested. He then answered truthfully, even though he was not required to. So I think, you know, when we look at this, if this was recent, I think we would have come in here with medical reports. Yeah, if this, you know, 2-3 years ago, 4 years ago, you know, I think we would have come in. You know, if he is transient, he had only just moved into town very recently. Easton's a town of, I don't know, 8,000 people, 10,000 people, something, you know. It's a small rural town. I think departments know people who are, you know, out there doing illegal things. I think we have a situation where my client potentially did something that was foolish 8 or 10 years ago.
Can I bring us back on track?
Yes, absolutely.
Because this is evidence, right, rather than, this sounds like a closing statement rather than evidence, and the evidence should come from the appellant.
I'm going to let Luke speak. Luke, I'd like to speak to the time after these. These are sealed. They're done. Since 2018, have you used illegal substances?
I believe my sober date would be, like, absolutely clean and sober would be right before I got back into college, which was like August 18th, 2022, which means no more smoking marijuana, no drug use since then.
Okay, and since that time period, you say your clean date, anything? You're under oath right here. You're stating to the board that you absolutely do not use illegal substances anymore?
Correct.
That's all I have.
Cross?
I have no further questions.
Board?
I'll do it. Tell us about the 2016 arrest and what happened there.
So I was coming home from my girlfriend's house in Bridgeport, driving home, and I was pulled over just outside of Easton on the Fairfield Trumbull Bridgeport Easton border for no front license plate, which my car was registered in Arizona, which I didn't even get 2 license plates at the DMV there, which is why I didn't have a license plate on the front. So I was pulled over for that reason. They smelled an odor of marijuana, immediately asked me, we can smell marijuana, do you have marijuana in the car? Which I responded, yes, I do. And then they said, are you going to search a vehicle? I pretty much stopped talking at that point. They seated me in the back of their car in handcuffs, as you know, detaining me. They conducted their search, said, you're under arrest, read me my rights, and took me to the Trumbull jail.
Okay, what did they find in the car? What did you have in the car? It's a better question to know what you had.
They found marijuana and Xanax pills.
How much marijuana?
I think, I'm not exactly sure, like 2 ounces.
Yeah, it just says greater than a half, and that could be 2 pounds, too. I mean,
that was like 2 ounces.
Okay, how much Xanax?
I think it was like 90 Xanax pills.
And how was the marijuana packaged?
In glass mason jars.
Okay, what was your intent? Were you selling the marijuana and Xanax?
I was not, just, you know, pretty much personal use.
Pretty much personal use means some of it wasn't.
If I had some friends that would take some from me, but did not sell it for money.
Where did you get it?
Where did I get it?
Yeah, or when did you get it? Start with that.
When?
Yeah, you were stopped at some time on that date, but when prior? How long have you had it in your car? When did you pick it up?
Don't exactly recall when I got it. Maybe 1 week prior.
Okay. So you were taken to the police station and handcuffs in the back of the car, processed, fingerprinted, and then you were given a court date. You went to court.
Yeah, I was bailed out, and then given a court date.
And did you get a program in court?
Yes. So I attended an inpatient rehab in New Canaan, Connecticut, at Silver Hill Hospital.
And what was that rehab for?
Just for drug use.
What kind of drugs?
It was for marijuana and Xanax.
Okay, any opiates? Alcohol?
No.
Was it alcohol rehab also?
No.
I'm sorry to cut you off, go ahead.
No.
How long was your inpatient stay?
30 days.
Okay, and then what happened?
After that, I was recommended to do an outpatient program at the same facility, which I agreed to and took part in a number of sessions over a few months. And then after that, went to Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous meetings, like a few times a week for a while.
When did you finish all of that?
The outpatient program?
Yeah, the Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous.
Well, I would attend meetings for probably 9 months after my outpatient program concluded.
Okay. Do you still attend meetings?
No.
No. When was the last time you had any alcohol?
The last time I had alcohol was probably my cousin's wedding last summer. I never drank, really.
Well, not you never drink, because you do. I think you said your sober date was 2022, so now it's 2023?
Well, you asked from illegal drugs or not.
No, I think you said you're clean and sober. You didn't specify, but okay. Whatever. So it's not 2022, it's 2023, right? So when was that wedding?
May 2023.
So about a year. When was the last time you were drunk?
I believe that night I probably had 3 or 4 drinks. So.
Are you an alcoholic?
No.
But you go to AA.
That was for drug use. So it's more convenient to go to Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. They tell you to go even if you just have addiction.
Okay. Any other drugs other than Xanax and marijuana?
No.
In your entire life?
My entire life, I think, may have used cocaine.
When was the last time you used cocaine?
Before my arrest.
So before 2016?
Yeah.
What do you do now?
Right now, I attend school, college full-time. I just hit like 61 credits, so got my associate degree in psychology from CT State Community College in Bridgeport, formerly Housatonic Community.
What is your living conditions? Married, kids?
Single. I live with my mom and dad in Easton.
You still live in Easton, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks.
Any other questions of the board? I guess that's it, Chris. Do you have any questions of the witness?
No, I'll just make a closing statement.
All right, okay, please do.
Yeah, a little more.
Oh, he gets the closing statement. He goes first.
Oh, he goes first.
Oh, sorry.
He goes first.
Obviously, we could have held back this testimony. We've chosen not to. We've chosen to be forthright with the board. Allowed my client to speak, allowed the board the opportunity to make what is a very important decision. My client feels comfortable that he has put this behind him. Whatever happened back 8 years ago, he went into treatment, he continued with treatment, low-level usage of marijuana is not uncommon in Connecticut, but today he is clean of everything, whether required by law or otherwise. Since 2022, he has said, except for a couple of drinks at his cousin's wedding, he said, I'm clean of this. I think for anybody who's had a problem, that wording clean and sober has great meaning to them. As I said before, this is a small town. If he was out there doing drugs, he was buying drugs, things of that sort, they're seeing him, under an intoxicated state in a small town, you know it. He has faced this problem. The courts have looked at the problem. The courts have said, here's what we want from you. You go into treatment. You go down there. You deal what you need to do. We're going to drop all these cases. He's done that. So he's done the right things he needs to do. At this point in time, he's about to complete a college degree. He'll be headed out into the workforce from there. The probability that my client will pose any risk to himself or others is low. It's behind him. It happened. We've taken a little risk here to be forthright with the board, to give you an opportunity to look at it. But I think when you look at the totality of the circumstances, as we are here today, the law favors that he is of suitable character. Thank you.
I just want to emphasize that this was more than just a ticket issued. There was a bond. The appellant submitted a check from the state of Connecticut court system, an amount of $5,000. That's usually after the case has been adjudicated, you get your bond money back. And like I said, it was a little more serious than a ticket. When you have, the hash oil, the marijuana, 90 Xanax pills, a scale, and baggies. Our world is that's packaging material, and that's for sale. You don't walk around with that much. So that types of items and for personal use. That's all.
Comments by the board?
All I would say is I would be a lot more comfortable if we had some medical records of your inpatient stay and any treatment you've had, the appellant has had, and we don't have that. We have the appellant's testimony, but that changed a bit from sober since 2022 to sober since 2023. So that's where I'm at. I would feel much more comfortable if we had some medical documentation of this treatment and the success or failure thereof.
I'd just like to have a point of clarification. And this is to the appellant. When you said clean and sober, were you referring to the use of marijuana and the use of Xanax, alprazolam?
Yeah, for drug use. Okay. I wasn't clear on whether it was including alcohol.
And could you just detail a little bit more for me what your, before you decided not to drink alcohol, what was your pattern of alcohol use?
I never drink. I don't enjoy it. Rarely at a family function such as my cousin's wedding or maybe a glass of wine at Thanksgiving, but I don't like the taste, I don't like how it feels, so.
And then one other follow-up question. Was the Xanax prescribed to you, or was that also purchased illegally at the time in 2016?
It was not prescribed for me, but it was, you know, for self-medication, for anxiety.
Okay. But it was obtained not through a prescription from a licensed provider?
Correct.
Thank you.
From my perspective, excuse me, the underlying circumstances of the arrest show that this was a little bit more than just simple possession of some marijuana. It was a large quantity along with the paraphernalia. On the other hand, that was all taken into consideration by the court, and everything has either been nollied or dismissed. The appellant has stated under oath that that type of conduct is no longer part of his personality. So. Those are my only comments. So, anyway, we'll go to a vote. So, Chief Rosenzweig.
Issue authority.
Colonel Lewis.
Appellant.
Mr. Gray.
Appellant.
Ms. Dr. Conrad.
Appellant.
And I'll vote for appellant. So it's 5-1, 4-1, excuse me, appellant.